Daniel chapter 9, beginning with verse 24. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and the prophecy and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem unto Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again and the wall even in troublous times, and after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the Prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood. And unto the end of the war desolations are determined, and he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abominations he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured out upon the desolate. Well, last time we looked at verse 24, and we discovered there in verse 24 that Daniel had discovered something, and we went and looked at some other texts of Scripture. Daniel had read the book of Jeremiah, and in the book of Jeremiah, which was written just before and at the beginning of the Babylonian captivity, where Daniel had been for many, many years, he discovered that Jeremiah prophesied that the people of Israel would be captive for a period of 70 years. Well, Daniel at that time realized that that time was almost over. And so Daniel began to pray. And as he prayed for more information, God dispatched the angel Gabriel to come and personally deliver the answer to Daniel's prayer. And what we find in Daniel chapter 9, verses 24 through 27, is the answer to that prayer delivered to Daniel about the events of the future. Now, quickly, I just want to review what we learned last time in verse 24. First of all, we saw, number one, we saw the period, which is 70 weeks. And you remember that that word, 70 weeks, the Hebrew word is Shabuah. It means sevens. And it is a reference to weeks of years, not weeks of days. And we looked at some other scripture to validate that. And so we saw that 70 times 7 is 490. And so we saw that the period that Gabriel is describing to the prophet Daniel is a period of 490 years. So hang on to that, because you're going to need it later. 490 years is the period. Number two, the people, he says, the 70 weeks is determined upon thy people. And who was the people of Daniel? Well, it was the Jews, the nation of Israel. At number three was the place, he says, and upon thy holy city. Well, that is, of course, Jerusalem. And we talked about the importance of Jerusalem and how that it's the most important city in the world, and prophetically, Jerusalem one day is going to be the center of world worship as the Lord Jesus Christ is reigning there. And then we saw number four, the purpose, and the purpose is divided up into four parts. Number one was the purpose of all this, the purpose of this prophecy. Number one was to finish the transgression. Of course, we saw that Israel's great transgression is the rejection of their Messiah. And then the second part of that is to make an end of sin. Well, how will Israel's great transgression, how will Israel's sin be forgiven? Well, same way your sin is forgiven, and that is by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Number three, to make reconciliation. And we saw that in the tribulation, Israel will renew her faithfulness to God and be restored and reconciled together with their God. And then God is going to do something else. He says that there in verse 24, that he will bring in everlasting righteousness. That is, he'll bring Israel to the place where they will trust in the righteousness of Christ alone rather than trusting in their own righteousness that Paul describes in the New Testament, of course, trying to keep the law and earn righteousness for themselves. And then in the next element of this prophecy, Daniel is told to seal up the vision and the prophecy, meaning that nothing else is needed, and we saw that this is God's personal promise to fulfill everything in this promise. That he's going to do it, and he's going to bring it to pass, and then and only then will he complete the final phase, the last element that he mentions here, and that is he will anoint the most holy. And we saw that the word Messiah, the word Christ, both mean the anointed one. And at the end of the tribulation, when Israel has been restored, Jesus Christ will bring in the kingdom age and reign from the throne of David in Jerusalem. Now, that's where we left off last time. So today we're going to start, tonight we're going to start with point number 5, the plan. All right? And look in verse 25. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and rebuild Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again and the wall even in troublous times. Now, what we have here, there is going to be, and that is from Daniel's perspective, of course, from us it's already taken place, but from Daniel's perspective, there was going to be a command that will trigger the events for the rest of this passage. Now, what is that command? Well, he tells us there, the command to restore and build Jerusalem. Now, a couple of things that we need to learn. We need to find out when that command was going to take place, or when did it take place? Did it take place? And if so, when? Well, the answer is yes, it did. And we'll find that in Nehemiah chapter 2. Look with me in Nehemiah, the book of Nehemiah chapter 2. Nehemiah chapter 2, and we're going to begin with verse 1. Nehemiah chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. In the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, when wine was brought for him, I took the wine and gave it to the king. Nehemiah was a cupbearer in the palace. He was the wine taster for the king. And he says there, I had not been sad in his presence before. And so the king asked me, why does your face look so sad when you're not ill? This can be nothing but sadness of heart. And I was very much afraid. But I said to the king, may the king live forever. Why should my face not look sad when the city where my fathers are buried lies in ruins and its gates have been destroyed by fire? The king said to me, what is it you want? And then I prayed to the God of heaven, and I answered the king, if it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor in his sight, let him send me to the city in Judah where my fathers are buried so that I can rebuild it. And then the king with the queen sitting by him asked me, how long will your journey take and when will you get back? It pleased the king to send me, and so I set a time. Now, we know from secular history that the year that this command was given for Nehemiah to go and rebuild and restore Jerusalem, that command was given in the year 445 B.C., Now, also, the text tells us that it was on the Hebrew calendar, the month of Nisan, which roughly corresponds to March on our calendars. And when the day of the month is not given, by tradition, it's understood to be the first day. And so the day was the first day of Nisan on our calendar. The date of that command would be March the 14th, 445 B.C., all right? Now, I'm not making this up. People a lot smarter than me have figured this out, and I've taken their research and presented it to you. But I want you to notice this is not something that I dreamed up. Now, I want you to notice that there are two periods described here. First of all, 7 weeks And then 62 weeks. And there are also two events. For the first one, the 7 weeks, it says, will be the rebuilding of the streets and the walls. And then the second event, which will be 62 weeks, the coming of the Messiah. So 7 weeks, or seven sevens, is how much? 7 times 7 is what? 49. 7 times 7 is 49. And so 7 weeks of years would be a period of 49 years. And just as prophesied, 49 years from the giving of this command, the streets and walls of Jerusalem were rebuilt under the leadership of Nehemiah. Now, the period of time for the second event, that is the coming of the Messiah, is where it really gets interesting. It says that the second period is 62 weeks. A score is what? 20. A score is 20, so 60 plus 2, 62 weeks, is 62 weeks, or 62 sevens. 62 times 7 is 434, plus the first 49 that we just saw makes 483 years. So what have we learned? Well, we've learned that God revealed to Daniel that 483 years from the giving of the command to restore and rebuild Jerusalem that was given on March the 14th, 445 BC, the Messiah would be presented to Israel. It's not talking about the birth of Christ, okay? I don't want you to misunderstand that. It's not talking about the birth of Christ. It's talking about the Messiah being presented to Israel. Now, that's exciting, but it gets even better. This is prophecy, and in the study of prophetic literature, a year consists of 360 days, not 365 like our calendar. And that, by the way, is the reason why there are 360 degrees in a circle. All of the ancients had years of 360 days. And so in Bible prophecy, a year always constitutes a period of 360 days. Now, let me give you some additional evidence to that. Go over to the book of Revelation, into Revelation chapter 12, and let me show you a couple of passages here just to validate what I just told you there about the length of prophetic years. Look in Revelation chapter 12, and I want you to notice in Revelation, we're going to find that 3.5 years is called 1260 days. Revelation chapter 12, look with me in verse 6. The Bible says the woman ran away into the desert to a place that God had prepared for her. There she would be taken care of for 1260 days. All right, now I want you to drop down in verse 14. But the woman was given the two wings of a great eagle so that she might fly from the serpent into the wilderness to the place where she was to is to be nourished for a time, times, and a half a time. How long is that? Well, we've seen that before. A time is a year, times is 2 years, and a half a time is a half a year, and so that's 3.5 years. In verse 6, you see that she's sent there for 1260 days. In verse 14, you see that she's sent there for 3.5 years. And if you need a little additional evidence of that, just divide 1260 by 3.5, and you know what you get? 360. And so you can go home and take your calculator, write it down, and figure it out. And so here's the prophecy that Daniel has made. You say, BJ, aren't you date setting here? No, I'm not date setting. Date setting is setting a date for something that's going to happen in the future. I'm just talking about things that's already happened in the past. We're talking about prophecy that's already been fulfilled. What does Daniel tell us here? Well, Daniel tells us that in 483 years, that consist of 360 days each, will be Messiah the Prince. Now, by the way, how many is that? Well, I'll save you the time. It's 173,880 days. Daniel says that in 173,880 days from the giving of the command to restore and rebuild Jerusalem, which we already saw, will be Messiah the Prince. Now, let's move to the other side of that prophecy. When did Jesus start his public ministry? Well, look in your New Testament in the Gospel of Luke and look with me in verse 3. Luke chapter 3 and verse 1. Luke chapter 3 and verse 1. Luke 3 verse 1 says, "Now in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea and Herod being tetrarch in Galilee." Now, drop down to verse 21. "Now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heavens opened." Jesus started his public ministry by being baptized there. When was it? Well, it was in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar. Now, again, we know exactly what year that was. It was in the year of AD 29. All right? Now, when did Jesus enter Jerusalem as the Messiah? Well, Jesus made his triumphant entry into Jerusalem, you remember, on the back of a donkey. When did he do that? Well, he did that three Passovers from that day. Three Passovers from the time that he started his public ministry. And the Passover in that year was on April the 6th, A.D. 32. April the 6th, A.D. 32. Now, folks, you have to transpose from years of 360 days to our calendar to years of 365 days. You have to consider leap years and all of those things. But I want you to understand that 173,880 days from March the 14th, 445 B.C., on April the 6th, A.D. 32, Jesus Christ made his triumphant entry into Jerusalem as the Messiah. Now you say, BJ, is there any other evidence for that? Well, you remember that the people, when Jesus came into Jerusalem riding on the donkey, you remember what the people were doing? Well, the people were waving palm branches and laying them down and shouting, "Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Did you ever ask yourself why they were doing that? Because they had read Daniel, and they knew that it was time. Not only that, when the Pharisees rebuked Jesus' disciples, Jesus said to them, "Listen, if the people didn't sing praises, what would happen? The very rocks would cry out." Why? Because the prophecy was fulfilled. Because the long-awaited Messiah had come. Daniel had prophesied the exact day that Jesus Christ would enter Jerusalem as the Messiah. Now, remember, we're talking about Jewish national history. And we said that 70 weeks are the weeks of years, and 70 times 7 equals 490 years, right? So far... what have we seen? Well, so far we've seen 483 years. How many does that leave?
Seven.
7 years that the Bible calls the Great Tribulation. But let's not get ahead of ourselves. Let's look back at our text. Go back to Daniel. And look with me in Daniel chapter 26, the end of verse 26. He says there, "After 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself." Folks, here is a prophecy of the death of Christ, not only the coming of Christ, but also the death of Christ for the sins of the world. The Bible says he came into his own, but his own received him not, and he was rejected. He was crucified for the sins of the world in perfect accord with the prophecy of Daniel. That in itself is an amazingly clear and important prophecy. Now, the next event on Daniel's calendar is the destruction of Jerusalem. Notice he continues in verse 26. "And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary." First, he says, "the people of the prince that shall come." Now, I want you to understand that this is a different prince. This is not Messiah the prince, but a wicked prince. And how do we know it was a wicked prince? Well, because there, this prince's people would come and destroy the city and the sanctuary. Notice also that it's not the prince who comes at this time, but it is the people of the prince. The prince that shall come is the Antichrist. And his people are the people with the spirit of Antichrist. And you find that and you see that in John chapter 4, verse 3. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is from God, this is the spirit of Antichrist, which you have heard is coming and even now is already in the world. And it says that the people of this wicked prince will come and they will destroy the city and the sanctuary. What is that? Well, it's talking about the city is Jerusalem. The sanctuary is the temple. Did that happen? Yeah, as a matter of fact, it did, and Jesus himself also prophesied that event. Look in your Bibles in the New Testament, in the Gospel of Luke again, in chapter 21. Look in Luke chapter 21, and look with me there in Luke 21, beginning with verse 5. Luke chapter 21, verses 5 and 6. He says there, some of his disciples were remarking about how the temple was adorned with beautiful stones and with gifts dedicated to God. But Jesus said, as for what you see here, the time will come when not one stone will be left on another. Every one of them will be thrown down. So Jesus was walking and talking and teaching his disciples one day. And as they passed by the temple, the disciples were struck with the beauty of the temple, and they were talking about that. And I've seen models of the temple, and it was a beautiful sight. And Jesus took this opportunity to teach his disciples, and he told them that there was coming a day when not one stone on this magnificent edifice would be left standing on top of another. Again, did that happen? Yes, it did. Attempting to quell a Jewish revolt in AD 70, Titus, the Roman general, attacked Jerusalem. Now, Titus gave strict orders that the temple was not to be harmed, but somehow in the midst of the destruction of Jerusalem, the temple was set on fire and it burned. And as it burned, the gold melted and ran down between the great stones. And then the plunderers came with their pry bars and they pried the stones apart. Later, there was a rumor that great treasure was buried under the temple. And they came and dug up the site, and not one stone was left standing on top of another. Now, toward the end of verse 26, back in Daniel chapter 9, it says, "And the end thereof shall be with a flood." Historians tell us that in that mass destruction, as many as 1 million Jews were killed in Jerusalem, and that blood ran through the streets like water. It ended with a flood, not of water, but of the blood of Jews that were killed by the people of the prince that will come. Now, the last phrase in verse 26 says, "And unto the end of the war, desolations are determined." A better translation of that would be, "Until the end, wars and desolations are determined." Now, what we have identified here is a gap in Jewish history that Daniel described simply as wars and desolation. When Messiah was cut off, and the temple was destroyed, the nation of Israel ceased to exist as a nation, and the Jews were scattered over the face of the earth. And we entered into this parenthesis of time, which is the age in which we're now living. It's called the church age. Remember the prophet's perspective that I showed you a couple of weeks ago, how that the prophets, as they rode, as they saw in their visions, it was kind of like two mountain peaks, and they saw a mountain peak here that represented the first coming of Christ, and then behind that they could see a second peak, which was the second coming of Christ, and they kind of blended together, and they couldn't see what was in the valley between those, and we saw that that sometimes represented the church age, or the church age and the tribulation. And what we have here is another illustration of that. When Daniel looked down through the corridor of time, he saw the first coming of Christ, and he saw the second coming of Christ. But after the first coming of Christ, he just saw an unknown period of time that he called simply wars and desolations. Because the church age, remember, was a mystery hidden from the Old Testament prophets. And we looked up a number of passages about that a few weeks ago. And so in AD 70, Israel ceased to be a nation. But in the lifetime of many of you who are here today, something very significant happened. With the Israeli Declaration of Independence on May the 4th, 1948, after maintaining its identity without a country for 2,000 years, Israel once again became a nation, and thousands of Jews returned to their homeland, and the stage was set for the conclusion of the prophecy of Daniel's 70 weeks. One day the church age will end. And when it does, the last 7 years of Jewish national history will begin. As we saw last week, in this age, God is not dealing primarily with the Jews. He's dealing with the Gentiles. Romans chapter 11, we saw this last time. Romans chapter 11, verse 25 says, blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. That's the reason why not many Jews are being saved in this age. Some are, but not a lot. And notice that it says blindness in part. Why? Well, because in this age, the church age, God is primarily calling out a church from among the Gentiles. But it is blindness in part. And it obviously has a conclusion because it says blindness in part has happened until Israel, until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Acts chapter 15 verse 14 says, God at first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. Why? Because of Israel's transgression. Because they rejected their Messiah and the gospel was then turned to the Gentiles, but God is not finished with Israel. Acts chapter 15, verse 16, Acts 15, 16 goes on to say, after this, I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David. What is that? The temple, which is fallen down, and I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up. And you say, well, after what? He says, after this, I will return and build again the tabernacle of David. After what? After he has taken out a people from among the Gentiles for himself. That is, after he has taken out the church. Now, that brings us back to Daniel chapter 9. Go back to Daniel chapter 9 and look with me in verse 27. Daniel chapter 9 says there in verse 27, and he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abomination, he shall make it desolate even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. Now I want you to notice the first phrase, and he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. First of all, who's he talking to? He's talking to Daniel about his people, the people of Israel. So the many must be referring to Daniel's people. Who is he? Well, it obviously is the wicked prince that was just mentioned in verse 26. The 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 tells us, and we've seen this before as well, tells us that after the rapture of the church, the man of sin will be revealed. The end time Antichrist will suddenly appear on the scene. And I want you to notice what he does there in verse 27. It says, and he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. How long's a week? 7 years. 7 years, the last 7 years of Jewish national history. After the church is taken out, the Antichrist will arise as the head of a one-world government, and he will bring about a false peace. We saw that illustrated in the first horseman in Revelation chapter 6, and that false peace will last for 3.5 years. It says he will make a covenant with the nation of Israel, and Israel who has been persecuted, Israel who has been enslaved, Israel who has been terrorized for thousands of years will accept this covenant. And they will embrace this new leader, and they will say, at last, at last, at last, our Messiah. John chapter 5, verse 43, Jesus said, I have come in my Father's name, and you did not receive me, but if another come in his own name, him you will receive, and they will accept him, and he will bring them peace for a time, and he will help them rebuild their temple, and they will say peace and safety. But the Bible says when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction will come upon them, and the Antichrist will turn on the nation of Israel like a rabid dog. Look again there at verse 27. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease. In the midst of the week, that is after 3.5 years, he will cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease. That is, 3.5 years into the covenant, the Antichrist is going to march into the temple of God and command that the sacrifice and the worship of God be stopped. And he'll say, if you want to worship God, then worship me. I'm God. You say, where do you get that, BJ? 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4 says, he will oppose and will exalt himself over everything that is called God or is worshiped, so that he sets himself up in God's temple, proclaiming himself to be God. Well, when he does that, the Jews will reject him and refuse to worship him. And at that time, the Antichrist will launch a worldwide persecution against the Jews that will make Hitler look like a Sunday school teacher. Look in Matthew chapter 24 with me again. Matthew chapter 24, Jesus is dealing with these very things. As a matter of fact, in these verses that I'm going to read, Jesus references the prophecy of Daniel in Daniel chapter 9. Matthew chapter 24, begin in verse 15. So when you see standing in the holy place, what is that? The temple. The abomination that causes desolation spoken of through the prophet Daniel. Let the reader understand, then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let no one on the roof of his house go down to take anything out of his house. Let no one in the field go back to get his cloak. How dreadful it will be in those days. Now look down at verse 21. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor ever shall be. Now I want you to look at that verse again, and then I want you to keep a finger there at verse 21, and I want you to turn back over to Daniel chapter 12 and look with me in verse 1. Daniel chapter 12, verse 1. While you're turning to Daniel 12, 1, let me read Matthew chapter 24, verse 21. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor shall ever be. Now look at Daniel chapter 12, verse 1. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. Says exactly the same thing that Jesus says in Matthew chapter 24, verse 21. But I want you to notice something at the end of Daniel chapter 12 and verse 1. The last phrase, and he says, and at that time, thy people shall be delivered. What's the purpose of the tribulation? Remember at the beginning of this prophecy, we read that it is to make an end of sin and to make reconciliation and to bring in everlasting righteousness. That is, it is to bring Israel back to God. At that time, thy people shall be delivered. It is to cause Israel to recognize Christ as the Messiah. And we'll discuss that more later. But understand that while millions, billions of Gentiles will be affected and suffer during the tribulation, that the tribulation is primarily Jewish in nature. Zechariah chapter 13, verses 8 and 9 says, in the whole land, declares the Lord, 2/3 will be struck down and perish, yet 1/3 will be left in it. This third I will bring into the fire. And I will refine them like silver and test them like gold. And they will call on my name, and I will answer them. And I will say, they are my people. And they will say, the Lord is our God. At the end of the last 7 years of Daniel's prophecy of 70 weeks, at the end of the last 7 years of the tribulation, when it looks like the Jews are through, when 2/3 of the Jewish nation has been destroyed by the judgments and the events of the tribulation, and it looks like the Antichrist has won, Jesus Christ will burst from the sky and deliver his people, and Israel will worship him. Friends, 483 years of this prophecy in Daniel chapter 9 has already been fulfilled so precisely, so minutely, that it is inconceivable that it could have happened by chance or by accident. And we're now living in that parenthesis of time, the church age that Daniel referred to there as wars and desolations. Pretty good description, wouldn't you say? Waiting for the final 7 years to be fulfilled. Jesus will, I believe, in this age, by removing the church in the rapture, and if you're left behind, there's no hope for you. There are no second chances after the rapture for those who reject the gospel. And no one knows the day or the hour when Jesus will take Christians out of this world in the rapture, and when this last 7 years will begin. But if he has been so careful to fulfill the first 483 years, don't you think he'll fulfill the last seven? I do. When will this age end and Jesus come? Well, there's nothing in the way. There's no prophecies that have to be fulfilled. There's no events that have to take place. It could happen at any moment. And so we just end with the question, are you ready? Are you ready? Do you know that you know that you know that you're saved? If you don't, come and talk to one of us and we'll help you.